From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Pittsburgh, California.
Oh, I'm not from the Bay Area.
Pinole, California.
Pinole, California.
San Jose.
I'm from Paradise, California, up north.
Coming up, will San Francisco residents vote to let the Giants transform the waterfront?
In 1989, I stood right on this corner where that statue of Willie Mays is. This was all abandoned warehouses.
Then a classically trained composer talks about his conversion to rap music.
I always say that Dr. Dre dipped me into the river of hip-hop, like baptizing me. And I was reborn as a hip-hop composer.
And we find out the answer to this week's audiograph mystery sound. We're heading for greener pastures today on Cross Currents. Stay with us. On November 3rd, the San Francisco Giants will ask voters to support Proposition D. They want permission to build a neighborhood of high-rises, homes, restaurants, and shops on the parking lot across from McCovey Cove. But if you put a building near a bay, you can bet someone's going to be angry. Environmentalists have a long history of rising up against bayfront projects, from the plan to build 12,000 homes on former salt ponds in Redwood City to the Warriors' proposed stadium along the Embarcadero. And the neighborhood the Giants want to build, called Mission Rock, has enough tall buildings to cause some concern, some rising to 240 feet. But the Giants' plan for Mission Rock also includes more affordable housing than any other private development in San Francisco history. Could that be enough to persuade San Francisco voters? KALW's Holly J. McDeed reports.
On a recent evening, dozens of Giants fans in orange and black head to the empty parking lot behind AT&T Park. It's a few hours before one of the last Giant games of the season. The Giants may not have made it to the playoffs, but the team is still hoping for a different type of victory this fall. Proposition D. This parking lot, nestled in Mission Bay between South Beach and China Basin Park, is where the Giants plan to build apartments, public parks, and offices in a brand new neighborhood called Mission Rock. But first, they have to get voter approval. In the meantime, they've converted shipping containers into hot dog stands and coffee shops. There's a beer garden, and tonight, a band plays in the background. This temporary hangout is called The Yard.
As you can see, there's not much around here in terms of food and beverage options, which is what The Yard seeks to, you know, help with.
That's Laura Nickel, operations manager at The Yard.
This whole parking lot you see here is going to be completely redeveloped into green space, affordable housing units, and waterfront parks as well, which is just an entirely new neighborhood in San Francisco.
Anchor Brewing would also move in. Beers, parks, and houses? It sounds almost utopian, but it will change the waterfront. It's up to voters to decide this November to approve or deny the height increase that would allow the Giants to build Mission Rock. Some buildings would rise up to 240 feet. That's 23 stories. Some would be between 3 and 6 times higher than what the land's current height limits allow.
Go Giants! Go Giants! Go Giants!
Mission Bay resident Siggy Stillman is a Giants fan. I spoke with her in The Yard before the Giants game. She doesn't think a new neighborhood is a fair trade-off for losing her waterfront view. When she moved to Mission Bay in 2006...
This place was all dirt. All dirt.
Now the neighborhood is changing. The Warriors want to build a new stadium across from the UCSF hospital, and they plan on bringing in parks, office space, and retail. The Mission Rock development would be more of the same.
I will no longer be able to see the bay from my apartment because this will be in the way, but I just won't be able to stand on my back deck and go, ooh.
I think that's not a good reason to prevent building.
Jay Hurst is a software developer who lives in the Dogpatch District. He's at The Yard before the game starts, too. For Hearst, whether he gets to see the waterfront isn't nearly as important as whether or not he can afford to live in San Francisco at all. If Prop D passes, 40% of the housing units in the Mission Rock development will be affordable for lower and middle income residents.
We just moved, and I think when we were looking for housing, a new place to live, I mean, having rents rates be so high and just kind of driving everybody further and further out of the city that it's becoming more difficult. So if we don't start to alleviate that, prices are just going to get higher and higher.
Former Mayor Art Agnos cherishes the waterfront, but he's still a fan of the Mission Rock development plan. These days, when you walk along the big paths, dodging cyclists and dog walkers along the Embarcadero, you don't think, man, I wish there was a big freeway here. But once, there was. Agnos drives me down the Embarcadero and says that when he was mayor, this glistening waterfront was a different scene.
Nobody went there. The only things that happened down there were various crimes and Dirty Harry movies, or Steve McQueen movies. This is before your time, isn't it? I love it.
But then, the 1989 earthquake came and struck down chunks of the freeway, sending them hurling to the ground.
Tell you what, we're having an earthquake.
So, I made a controversial decision at the time to demolish it. And I had some 22,000 people who signed petitions to tear it down.
There was massive opposition. Neighborhood merchants said it would cause gridlock and hurt their businesses. The decision may even have cost Agnos re-election. But since then, the waterfront has become a San Francisco treasure.
And the rest is history. It opened up a spectacular part of the city.
Now, any development along the waterfront threatens to ruin the breathtaking postcard the Embarcadero has become. Take 8 Washington, a massive 136-foot-tall condo project proposed in 2012 near the Ferry Building. The majority of supervisors supported it, and the developers pledged $11 million to go towards an affordable housing fund. But the voters rejected it by a 67% landslide. And last summer, voters overwhelmingly approved a ballot measure that would let them decide if developers could build above existing waterfront height limits.
But we have to be careful as a city. We just can't let anything happen there. It is so beautiful. It is so attractive, so profitable to be there that all the developers want to go there and threaten access by ordinary people who either live or visit in our city.
Larry Bayer is the CEO of the Giants. He says the plan for Mission Rock is different. It's not a stadium or a condo project. It's a proposal to build an entirely new neighborhood.
The 8 Washington project was a luxury condo project. This project is all rental housing, of which 40% are affordable. And so this is really a place where everybody can see themselves coming, enjoying, and could live here as well.
The number of affordable housing units the Giants plan to build went up after Supervisor Jane Kim proposed an alternative ballot measure. The Giants didn't want to risk losing voter support, and they had seen what voters in San Francisco could do to proposals they didn't like 8 Washington. Now, some of 8 Washington's critics, like former Mayor Art Agnos, support this new proposal.
The Giants are building in a different part of the city that has been an abandoned industrial area, used to be railroad yards, where there are high-rises all around them.
Environmental attorney John Gollinger campaigned against 8 Washington, and he isn't convinced this plan is so different. I met with Gollinger along the waterfront.
The proposal on the ballot this November is to develop 8 towers, 5 of them taller than 8 Washington, for mostly offices and luxury condos or luxury apartments with some affordable housing. And the concern that the Sierra Club and I and others have, as with 8 Washington, is development on the waterfront in reason is fine, but when you build very tall buildings, they block the bay for everyone else.
But Gollinger says that opposition has been quieter this time around. Agnos is right. Mission Bay is no financial district where the 8 Washington condos were proposed. The parking lot here is empty. There's no residents who might be angry and no businesses who might fight back. but people are on their way in. Across from the Mission Rock site, condos are being built. The sound of construction is almost rhythmic.
So right now they've started pile driving, which is the sound that we will hear soon on this site too if the project goes forward. And it's mixing with the sounds that you normally would hear on a peaceful afternoon, which is either the bay, the seagulls, or baseball.
I don't hear any seagulls. It's too noisy. And you could say all this noise began with an earthquake nearly 2 decades ago, with the sounds of a crumbling freeway followed by the sounds of a city rebuilding itself. The waterfront provides some escape from the noise, but it means San Francisco developers, politicians, and residents are still arguing over what to do with the view and who can afford to stick around and see it. In San Francisco, for Cross Currents, I'm Holly J. McDeed.
You can find more of our election coverage at KALW.org. Click Cross Currents. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. As we heard in our last story, affordable housing is a central issue on Bay Area ballots. It's also showing up in our arts scene. The Town on Notice is a new performance piece from Dimensions Dance Theater about Oakland's gentrification. It features the sounds of composer and pianist Juwan Kim, who makes what he calls hybrid music. Together with his group ensemble Mik Nawuj, he fuses hip-hop and classical elements together. Kim spoke with KALW's Jen Chien about creating a musical backdrop for one of the Bay Area's most pressing subjects.
How old were you when you came to this country?
I came here when I was 20 years old, and I was completely formed as an adult, basically. And then I adapted American culture. And what I really adapted was this pragmatism, you know, this plasticity, a willingness to change. If there's a better way, we will adapt it and change it. And this is something that I loved about America, because speaking of tradition, Korea is the motherlode of traditions, you know, and I was stifled by that, and I wanted to get out of it. And when I came here and realized that classical music was just like some sort of other traditional thing that I'm accustomed to in Korea, I wanted to get out of it, and I wanted to be in a field that is open to change and not set in a dogmatic way, and hip-hop is definitely one of those fields. And I think that what I'm doing now is actually new and actually contributing to a very exciting genre, and that's very meaningful to me.
When you first started putting your classical techniques and your classical training towards hip-hop, what made you think, oh, well, this is a good idea, I'm going to put these things together?
Well, it was completely accidental, actually. So when I was doing a composer's concert at the conservatory while I was doing my master's, I was given a chance to present a piece, and I wanted to shake things up. So I wrote a novelty piece that featured MC with chamber ensemble. Everybody hated it, but
you didn't.
I didn't. And
the Did you love it?
Audience loved it. Everybody, as in all my teachers, were oh my gosh, what are you doing? Why is this rapper guy in this conservatory building? And then, ironically, I got a full-page write-up on Oakland Tribune, which was totally crazy because I didn't really plan to do that, any of that stuff. So after that, my MC at the time suggested that we make an album. And I spent the next 6 months writing about an hour of music. And at the time, and still now, I think of myself as a serious composer, a serious musician. And I had to really think about what I did with my life. Because I didn't know hip-hop at the time.
You didn't know hip-hop.
I didn't know. I just plunged into it.
Uh-huh.
And then I discovered different repertoires, and I got into Dr. Dre, and then I discovered N.W.A., and I had this conversion experience. I always say that Dr. Dre dipped me into the river of hip-hop, like baptizing me, and I was reborn as a hip-hop composer.
I'm speaking with composer Juwan Kim, leader of the Hip Hop Chamber Orchestra Ensemble Mik Nawuj. You've worked with different MCs since you first started. I'm curious about what they need musically in order to do what they do. Has anyone ever said, no, I can't rap over that, or I need this specifically?
No, they didn't say that. They never say that, because hip-hop artists are very open-minded, actually. People who are not open-minded are people who think that they have achieved something great already. They are coming out of some sort of tradition of some sort.
So what do you look for in a musician then when you're building your ensemble?
I'm pretty rigorous about musicianship. All my instrumentalists are great players. They're all completely classical players, because I write every single aspect about the music very detailedly in my score.
Meaning it's not improvised?
None of it is improvised. The drummer that I have went to Berklee College of Music, and he can read music.
So you write out the drum parts too?
Yes, every part, even with the MCs too. I give them specific instructions of when to come in and when to go out. Of course, they write their own parts. So everything is written out, and I want everybody to be basically the best at their game.
Okay, let's listen to the first track from your album, Ensemble McNawooj, a hip-hop orchestra. This is called First Song.
Looking at the world with brand new eyes, almost like I'm here for the very first time. And I never met the me that became subject to feed neglect, but reflect effortlessly into a sea of infinity, which some perceive as bliss, but we perceive it. We perceive it as this. She first came to me in a dream, and then she became really gleaming. My mind's eye is a shining light, still hadn't been deceived and already making a scene. And now with the mega the meaning to see the way fate was leaning. Pretty love made on the week in between me and her mom. It's more than just me and the arms of hers and mine, which blurs the lines of what we were upon. Who would have known that you would resequence a song of longing to be about love when it wasn't no secret, my darling?
So can you tell me a bit about writing this piece?
Last album that we released last year was heavily affected by the fact that I lost my mother. 2 weeks after, I also lost my grandfather.
Mm.
And this piece is about your first experiences that you have that defines you. And also, it's a piece of resolution. So at the end, you know, you sort of resolve whatever that's going on.
So it comes from a very personal place for you. When you spoke with the MC about how to bring that lyrically in, how did you ask him to translate those feelings?
Yeah, there are two people, actually. Uh-huh. Dudat and Sadman. Both are tremendously talented people, and they have their own experiences and their heartbreaks. And I told them to write about that, because it's about not just mine. It's about collective difficulties and joy and frustration, different things about life that makes you who you are and also sort of matures you.
You've composed music for The Town Unnoticed, which is this new piece by Dimensions Dance Theater, and it's dealing with the issue of gentrification in Oakland. Tell me how you got at that issue through the music.
The two pieces that I'm playing at the show are piano reduction of our usual setup. So I'm basically playing an idea of the piece. The theme of the pieces that I'm playing are based on my loss of my family members. Yeah, so the theme of it for me is like loss and how you deal with the loss. And when I actually played this piece, him, which is a part of this thing, one of the choreographers cried. So she really was moved by it, because I think that whether it's like a larger group of people losing their homes or their hometown, basically, or comparing to like personal loss, the loss is the same, whether it's greater or smaller. So I thought that they really got connected to the feeling of it, because that's what essentially music is conveying. And it was very compatible working with them.
That was pianist and composer Juwan Kim speaking with KLW's Jen Chien. You can catch Kim performing with Dimensions Dance Theater in The Town Unnoticed. That's Saturday at the Malanga Cascalord Center for the Arts in Oakland. More information is at KALW.org and click on Cross Currents. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. And now it's time for Audiograph, the Bay Area's sonic signature. All week long, we've been playing you this sound. So, do you know what that is? Well, Audiograph's editor, Julie Kane, is out this week, so I'll give you the answer. Those sounds were recorded at the Grand National Rodeo held at the Cow Palace. KLW's Jasmine Lopez takes us there.
Hello, California! Elvis Presley, Billy Graham, Elton John, the Beatles, heavyweight boxing championships, it's all taking place inside this great building. But you know what? Tonight, it's going to be a heavyweight matchup between the Cowboys and Cowgirls and the Beast underneath them. Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you the 2013 Miss Grand National Rodeo, Missy Elliott.
My name is Missy Elliott, and I'm your 2013 Miss Grand National Rodeo Queen. We're at the Grand National Rodeo the first weekend, and we're just getting ready to start our first performance.
She has traveled over 6,000 miles, increasing awareness about professional rodeo and the Grand National and the legendary Cow Palace. One more time for Missy Elliott.
The rodeo families, they travel from rodeo to rodeo, and they all know each other, and all their kids grow up, so it's a really, really good atmosphere, and to have that at the rodeo is the best.
My name's Jenna Moore. I am putting conditioner on my pig. She is 10 months old, and she's a crossbred between a Yorkshire and a Hampshire. And she's gonna be showing in the breeders' class tomorrow.
My name is Eliza McAllister. I'm a naturally born cowboy. I've been on a horse since I was 3 years old. This thing is emotional. You know, when you see a beautiful animal, it touches you.
Here, hold the horse, guys.
Nasty Tom, come on. Yes, it's way on. No. Oh my goodness.
I'm Todd Fitzsimmons, Livermore, California. We came out to watch the rodeo tonight. My favorite part about coming here, all of Northern California kind of converges on one area for the Grand National Rodeo. It's a like-minded way of life. We all feel this way about our livestock and our animals. You look out in that arena and you see the events going on. That's not just an event, that's a way of life.
After the rodeo, we'll be dancing. Oh, it's always good to come to California. Always fun.
The Grand National Rodeo is taking place this weekend and next at San Francisco's Cow Palace. For more information, head to our website, kalw.org, and click on Cross Currents. Our winner today is Frances Morgan. She's a college student in Frederick, Maryland, but still streams her home station of KALW regularly. Congratulations, Frances. We are sending you a KALW t-shirt.
All right. I know we got some rodeo cowboy fans, but I need to know, are there any Niners fans in the house?
For the rest of you, here's a sneak peek for next week's sound.
Good afternoon, President Chu and supervisors. I was reading in the paper they're looking for fresh air in the city, and I thought that'd be perfect because we need a city that's fresher than fresh. Exciting, it's so exciting to we. This city's fresher than fresh, district exciting, in the city thanks to Mayor Lee, it's fresher than fresh.
If you think you know what that is and where we recorded it, give us a call at 415-264-7106 and tell us what it is. That's 415-264-7106. Yeah. Our team includes Shireen Adil, Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Chris Hoff, Angela Johnston, Ian Lewis, Casey Miner, Ted Muldoon, Raja Shah, and Stephen Short. Today's show was engineered by James Rollins. The line producer was Hannah Kingsley Ma. Our managing editor is Jen Sheehan. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet.
This water will not go too hot from cold. Why will they not stock more soap inside these bathrooms? Don't they sell it just inside the Texaco? Gotta thank you.
This voice belongs to Megan Slankard from San Francisco. Slankard is the featured performer Friday at the Great American Music Hall in San Francisco, part of an event for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Things get started at 7 o'clock. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba. Favorite song on the radio.
Been through tough times before, now they're not gonna happen anymore. Like always, Alex, oh, I did this for you. I bought that.